You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody. This is Commander Tom Garcia. Welcome to the American Hour. And, of course, my lovely co-host, Paula Luzon, is joining us, as usual, from Boston, Massachusetts. Paula, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Tom. We've got a light rain mist here in the Boston, greater Boston area, with a temperature of 44 degrees.
Okay, sorry to hear that. We've got a light breeze swaying the palm trees here in South Florida, and it's about 75 degrees. Yeah. There are certain things you have to put up with to live in Florida, but if you can put up with them, you get this great weather. And so I'm actually broadcasting live from my patio in South Florida. Yeah, with the microphone. I don't think, can you hear the crickets chirping in the background and the bugs and the other stuff like that? Probably not.
No,
microphone won't pick any of that stuff up, just me talking, so that's the good thing. So, and we've got a special guest tonight. We're just going to start this right off by playing a little teaser clip here of some of her music. Nina Yvonne, and I'm assuming she pronounces her name Nina. When she gets on the show, we will, ask her lots of good questions about what she's doing. But this is a fun night for us because we've had some other recording artists on, other musicians on the show before, but Nina really is one of the hottest rising stars of 2011, and she just this year came out with a new hit video and song, and she's got some albums you can download off of iTunes, and she's done some touring and playing some special spots and everything. But anyway, I put together this little clip of her latest song called "Go Around," and let's just go ahead and give it a listen, and then we'll talk about some upcoming stuff. She's going to call in here in about 10 minutes, and then we'll get going with Nina.
Oh, yeah, maybe we can let it go.
There you go, Nina Yvonne, and you can find her website at ninayvonne.com. Now, I got to tell you, her website's cool, and I like her website, but if you go to the site that she directed me to, the press site, I actually like that a lot because you can see stuff so clear and quickly, and I'll tell you what's on there. First of all, if you go to press.ninayvonne, and her name is spelled N-E-N-N-A, Yvonne, ninayvonne.com. At the top, you've got a menu, or at the top right, that talks about biography, music, photos, video. It'll take you to all that stuff. That's great. Then there are links to All Music Profile, Bandcamp, Facebook, iLike, iTunes, Logbook, MySpace, the official website. I mean, all the links to anything you'd want that has anything to do with Nina Yvonne. Then there's the press section. EQ Music blog, and it's really press that she's gotten. But you can read what people have to say about her, and shows that she's done to her music and what they're talking about. Life magazine had a photo of her in Life magazine where the discussion was not specifically necessarily about her, but about pop music and pop culture in the United States, et cetera. So it's great. I actually like the press site a lot. So check them both out. So go to ninayvonne.com and go to press.ninayvonne.com, and you will get every link to everything that has anything to do with her. On Twitter, she's got, I don't know, like 30,000 people following her. And I think on her web or Facebook page, she's got like over 200,000 people that like her page and what's going on there. So if you're ever found somebody, you know, that you liked, you know, maybe when you were young in high school or college, and then they ended up being a big band. For example, I had a very early album of L.A. and Seattle-type bands back when I was in college that had a song from a band that I couldn't even pronounce their name right. I pronounced their name Metallica. It was Metallica. I didn't know how to pronounce it. I mean, you think, hey, it's Metallica. But I looked at it and I said, in college, Metallica. I didn't know what they were trying to say. Metallica, and it was one of the songs that ended up on their very first album. But I said, these guys are going to be somebody. And, of course, they turned out to be somebody. So this is somebody who's already somebody, and she's going to get really, really big, I predict. So we look forward to having her on the show. And but let's talk about real quickly what we've got coming up. On the This Thursday, we've got Wild Bill for America. You don't want to miss this guy. This guy's all over America. He's talking out about the Constitution, which, you know, is my big topic and favorite thing to talk about. But he's got some really interesting perspectives and ideas on our country and where it ought to go. And he's out touring around meeting Americans. So he's going to be a great guy to have on the show to talk to us, just like Lloyd Marcus, you know, a guy who's out and around and in touch with real America. You don't have to watch, you know, the news to figure out what's going on. Let's talk to some of these people that are out there talking to folks like you and me and seeing what's going on. So he is going to be on the show, Wild Bill for America, on Thursday night. And let's see, I think we've got shows lined up for the next couple weeks. If you go to the website, just type in TomGarcia.com. That's the easiest way to do it. If you're already on the website, USAradionetwork.com, great. But it's really easy to remember, TomGarcia.com. You can see what our broadcast schedule is going to be. As you know, my schedule is not as flexible as it used to be, so it looks like it's mostly Wednesdays and Thursdays this month. And we will keep the dates up there as we know when we're going to be able to broadcast in the future. But it's going to change from month to month, so just hang in there, but we'll keep it on the website. And, of course, for details and specifics, you can always find us on Facebook at the American Hour Radio Show page. So look for that on Facebook. And if you have a Twitter account, you've got to go check out Paula and myself on Twitter. First of all, Paula is the Megawatt Queen. And now Tell us exactly how you're spelling that on Twitter. Is it the Megawatt Queen or is it just Megawatt Queen?
At Megawatt Queen. And the
at
M
Megawatt Queen.
And the M, the W, and the Q are capitalized in Megawatt Queen.
Okay, perfect. And then, of course, I think we have links on the webpage to both of those. If we don't, I know we've got links on the webpage to the American Hour on Facebook and Twitter, but on Twitter, you can follow us at and do the at symbol, The American Hour. And you'll see all the tweets that we put out. And I retweet a lot of good things because I follow some folks that are smart, sharp, and do a lot of the legwork that I don't have to do. I mean, I do my own, but they do a lot of other legwork. And so a lot of times I'll go on a retweeting binge where I might retweet 50 or 100 tweets that somebody else, other people, not just somebody, but a whole collection of other people that I follow specifically to see what they have to say. And there's a lot of good stuff there. One of them that I really like, a good friend of ours, Mark Ross, who we're going to get on the show. I've been talking with him, trying to arrange a time to get him on the show. But you can go to at MarkRoss67, MarkRoss67 on Twitter. And this guy is very, very sharp and smart. And so that's what's going on upcoming. And, of course, tomorrow is the 7th of December, 1941. We remember Pearl Harbor was bombed. So we're going to do a special Pearl Harbor show tomorrow night and may even be able to get my dad to come on the show. He used to be vice president, I think, of the Navy League in Arizona. And, of course, every year the state of Arizona, the American Legion sends – or the Navy League sends – somebody to Pearl Harbor to lay a wreath at the memorial in memory of December 7th, 1941. So That's what we'll be doing tomorrow, mostly that. There'll be a few other things. We'll get into a little bit of politics and stuff, and we have some juicy tidbits from our good friend Debbie, what's her next life, Schultz. Throw out there. Yeah, no, we won't do any sound clips because it's just impossible to listen to her voice, but we'll quote her. And she's got some good ones out there. And so that's what we've got coming up. Paula, what's on your radar these days? Oh, I have to say this. Of course, everybody knows that I was a big Herman Cain supporter, and now he's out of the race. Very, very disappointing. And I know a lot of people were working to help his campaign and doing a fabulous job, by the way, fabulous job. I got an email from my dad about this, and he sent me an article from the Wall Street Journal, and I didn't actually have time to go look at it. But what I did do was I sent something back to my dad. I've been telling a lot of people about this. The largest sexual assault and harassment case in American history that I can remember was Tailhook. I was not there that year. In the end, there were 50-plus women that claimed they had been assaulted. And in the end, the results were 49 of them weren't even in the hotel. They were just trying to take advantage of a situation. The one woman who was actually there in witnesses could place her there because she was a naval aviator herself, but she was a woman, of course. And she got a settlement. I think it was like $1.5 million settlement from the Navy, but the case was never proven. The night before, she was fearing for her life. She was in a Marine A6 suite on that floor that the Navy had, the whole floor of that hotel, doing shots out of her belly button. But the next night, she feared for her life. It's hogwash, absolute hogwash. But there you have a perfect example of how people will dogpile on a situation to try and take advantage of somebody where they're – and the media is complicit in all of this because they put it out there as if there's some kind of fact associated with it when there isn't. So I feel very bad for Herman Cain and his family. But I also saw many of my fellow aviators' careers absolutely destroyed simply because they were there. No allegations were ever made against them. If you were up for promotion that year, your promotion was – all promotions were stopped, period. You were not going to get promoted, and that is a career ender for many aviators on active duty to be passed over or to be skipped one time because – you need to get promoted so that you can move on to your next job, your next logical job. And many, many careers were destroyed by allegations of dozens of people who were just trying to take advantage of the situation. And now we see a presidential candidate where the same thing has happened. So I'll throw that out there as an example of the destruction that can occur when the media becomes complicit in the fabrication and accusations where there is no actual evidence. Any case, Paula, what's been on your radar since the last time we did a show?
Nothing much, but I'm curious about the Herman Cain thing. I mean, with the amount of women that have come to fruition, you know, how do you feel about whether or not the allegations are true or not? If he stands there and denies, but these women just keep popping up and.
That's why I used the Tailhook example. The women just kept popping up, and naval aviators said, I didn't do anything, I didn't do anything, I didn't see anything, nobody saw anything, nobody did anything, and they just kept popping up. And there was never any evidence or any eyewitnesses to what Paula Kaufman claimed happened to her. Not a one. Not a one. And then all of those other women, and that's why I said 50-plus women who were ultimately proven to have not even been in the hotel. So there never was any evidence. And in this case, all these women go, oh, yeah, he did something inappropriate. Okay, where's the evidence? Did anybody see it happen? Well, no. There you go. There's no proof. You know, it's like, why bring something? There actually was another woman who was there and claimed that she was raped. You probably didn't hear about this. It was in the Navy Times. It didn't make the mainstream media, believe it or not, surprisingly. She claimed she was raped. There were witnesses that she and a guy there, a gentleman there, had actually slept together. But she was making out with him and hanging out with him, and it was all of her own free will. In the case, in the actual court case, she admitted under oath that she had not been raped in this situation. But a few years earlier in the Navy, she had been actually raped, and she was just, but she didn't come forward. She was just trying to make up for that at the expense of an innocent man. The Navy dropped the case, and that was the end of it. They didn't prosecute her. So that's the only other case that went to court, and another woman that was actually there, and it was dropped, and she turned out to be an outright liar. And she was not prosecuted, unfortunately, because back then it was, you know, very politically correct to go after these naval aviators, and it was a witch hunt. And at the head of that witch hunt was that former U.S. Congresswoman from Colorado who hated the military and always did everything she could to go after the military. So it was a witch hunt from the beginning, and now we've got the media on a witch hunt going, following women around or making allegations with not one shred of evidence, not one. So that's my feeling. I think it's all made up, and I believe Herman Cain, but nothing we can do about it at this point. So it looks like Nina has called in. Let's get her Paul is talking to her right now, so we'll get her on here in a minute. In the meantime, let's go ahead and play that clip one more time, and then we'll get Nina on here and start talking about her career and her music. Nina Yvonne, welcome to the American Hour. And first of all, please tell me if I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's Nina Yvonne.
Nina Yvonne. Okay, Nina Yvonne. Excellent. Because there are some subtle ways you can pronounce Nina. You can say Nina, Nana, you know, a lot of different things. But I want to... Nina Yvonne. Awesome. Well, listen, we are so happy to have you on the show. We've had some other musicians on the show, but Paula... I sent her your stuff last week, and she's been checking you out, as I have, and boy, I got to tell you, we're impressed. You are working it, and you are out there and doing some great stuff, and all I can say is we're impressed, and we're so happy that you would be willing to come on the show.
Thank you for having me. It means a lot. Thank you.
Now, start at the beginning. Tell us about your family, your background, how you even got started singing. I'm sure you probably were singing as a young girl. And the music school that you went to and on, so just, we're going to let you run with it here. Tell us about who you are and where you came from.
Oh, I'm originally from New York. I was born in Nigeria, came here with my parents at the age of five. Started singing elementary school. My grade school teacher had me come up and do like a solo performance in front of like an entire auditorium full of students and family associates, and I was so nervous at the time. I was just a little kid, and he's really the one that encouraged me to start singing from an early age. Eventually, I started like writing my own little poetry and my own music, and I told my parents at the age of 11 that I wanted to pursue it as a career. And being that my parents are both like professionals, like my father's a diplomat and my mother's a guidance counselor, and she works for all these different collegiate teams, they both were like kind of taken back because they didn't really see that as being like my direction for, you know, career-wise. So I kind of persisted on it, and I told them I wanted to go to LaGuardia High School for Music and Arts and Performing Arts in Manhattan. And that was like the school that I really felt would train me and build me up as a musician. And eventually they gave in and let me sort of pursue that, and that worked out really well. I did a bunch of different shows. I performed at Carnegie Hall, Alice Tully Hall. I performed for all kinds of like senates and governors and all these people through LaGuardia. And eventually I, you know, went on to college, but I kept writing and decided to start like working on my own album, my own release as a solo artist. But at the time, it was really difficult for me as an artist to find someone who could help me get in the studio and sort of create visually and sonically what I had envisioned for myself as an artist. So that was really the difficult part, just finding someone who could, like, help build me up and do some artist development with me as an artist. So it took me some time. I eventually convinced my mother to help me take out a loan so that I could build my own home studio. And she reluctantly did it, but we did it together. And I ran into my producer, who I've been working with for about 4.5 years now, by the name of Detox, and we released an EP together called Model Citizen. It did extremely well virally on the web. Then we did another release called Go Around, which is a song you just finished playing, and that did really well. We did like a whole feature on it with Ndaba. A few months later, here I am on the stage.
Awesome.
I mean, obviously there's a bunch of things that happen in between, but that's, you know, that's another diary for another day. So
that's great. I, you know, I'm intrigued by, number one, your ambition. And that you have made this happen for yourself. And I look at a lot of young kids out there today that have ambition and they're doing what you're doing, but a lot of kids that aren't. What would you attribute this ambition? Is it just purely your love of music? Because there are a lot of kids that love music, and some of them are good musicians, but, you know, that's about it. What would you attribute to this ambition and drive of yours to really pursue a career like this?
I think you have to stay creatively driven. I think you really have to be focused and really know what you want. I know, I mean, personally, I went to school with nothing but creative people. You know, LaGuardia High School was arts, dance, drama, you know, anything you can think of creatively, that's what the school was about. But a lot of the students that graduated, you know, ended up doing something that had nothing to do with what they were, you know, originally there for. And the school, you know, you have to have really top-notch grades and you really have to be dedicated. So I kind of felt it was silly to spend all those years studying a craft that you didn't plan to use in your future. So, you know, a lot of my friends, you know, they recently hit me up and they're like, you know, it's really cool what you're doing. I can't believe you actually went for it and you're doing, you know, the impossible. And I said, you know what, guys, there's nothing that's impossible. You just have to stay focused, you know. You can't be running around with these boys and getting pregnant and doing all these things. It's distracting. It keeps you from really achieving something for yourself ultimately. And, you know, I always looked at it as a business. You know, if you want to create a brand for yourself, you really have to figure out what your strategy is and surround yourself with people who have your best interest at heart. So I've always tried to, you know, surround myself with positive and driven people and optimistic people, because, you know, it does get difficult and there's just a lot of downfalls, especially with the current state of the music industry. You know, I had a lot of people discouraging me, saying, you know, you should pursue something else. It's just too much competition out there. There's just, you know, there's just too many downfalls and you're going to get hurt. And I said, well, you know what? That's in any career. There's no industry you're going to go into where there's not competition or somebody that's, you know, out there to outshine you or outdo you. You just have to really know what you want as a person and be willing to go the extra mile.
Good girl.
Okay.
Good
that's
girl.
Awesome. Now, hey, Paula, do you have any questions for Nina?
No questions, just some comments. I am.
Yeah, please do.
I am very impressed, like yourself, Tom, with her drive and her ambition as young as she is. And she kind of talks the way I feel with, you know, starting a business, you know, assisting somebody in starting a business and having that drive and persevering for the last 12 months going, oh, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I think you've pretty much got to go with your gut and stick with it. That's how I feel. And, you know, you have the positive people behind you to push you, such as myself and other Facebook fans. You're definitely going to get places. I do have to tell you that I did jump on the Reverb Nation page that you have,
mm-hmm.
and I played all your songs at the bottom of the page, and I do have these little one-word adjectives describing your songs as I was putting it out there on my Facebook wall. The first, your first Make Your Move, I described that as nice. We Never Die, like the Kuru 360, I thought was cute. So sweet. We Came to Rock, I thought that was a nice workout song. Some Girls, I thought was fun. The Make Your Move song, what you say you wrote your own songs. What, where do you get your inspiration to write your music?
For me, I'm always constantly looking for new ideas. I'm always reading articles. I'm always looking at, books and poetry. I'm always watching movies, old films. I'm always looking at foreign films or, you know, any conversation. Even talking to you right now, maybe I can have a great idea, you know, later thinking back. I always find these cool little ideas and I jot them down. And eventually I use them for melodies that come to me just sporadically. And those are what helps me create the songs that you hear. Like some girls, I actually wrote that on the spot, like in the studio. I heard the production and I was like, you know what? You know, it's just something that comes naturally as a creative individual, you know, and sometimes it's having the right people vibe with you, and sometimes it's just being around something that touches you personally. Maybe it's an experience you had or a good conversation you might have with a friend. And for me, it's like every opportunity is an opportunity to find lyrics and melodies for an awesome song. Like I was talking to a friend of mine over the phone, and she doesn't even realize she inspired the song in the past. Go Around was inspired by my mother, because my mother is a very spiritual person, and she's always sending me these little blogs about, you know, just uplifting blogs to keep me positive. And she sent me one blog one time, and I was just like, wow, you know, and the next thing I know, Go Around was born. So it really can come from just about anything, and if you're creatively driven, it kind of just comes to you naturally in a way, you know?
So you just garnered another fan, and hopefully you'll get another, I don't know, 100 or so as I'm plugging your stuff away, because I absolutely love it. I have an ear for all types of music, and I absolutely enjoy your work. So I'm going to keep following. You've got a fan in me.
Oh, cool. I love it. Thank you. Very cool. Yeah.
Paula, I just got disconnected. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My sound, because I'm sitting on the patio here, I'm going wireless, and it just showed that my microphone's off. But if you can hear me, great. that's the problem with trying to sit on the patio. And you missed that at the beginning of the show, Nina, that I'm in Florida. I live down in South Florida, and it's 75 degrees, and I just can't see sitting up in my little home studio when I could be sitting out on the patio. So in any case,
I love Florida. I wish I could go back.
Well, when were you in Florida?
I was in Florida. It has to be like 2-3 years ago. I mean, I was in Naples because a friend of mine lives out there, but I've never been to Miami, which I hope to go to soon because I heard the club scene out there is bananas. I went to Naples, and it's just so gorgeous out there. Everything's so clean and well laid out and orderly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I can't. I'm not able to see the studio. So, Paula, if you can, if we get a call or somebody like that, take care of that, because I'm going to have to maybe go inside or something like that to get a signal again. This has never happened before. I apologize, folks. But, Nina. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, your influences and stuff like that, what's, again, back to the ambition thing, because this is something that really got my attention. Beside the music, I mean, the music is great. I love it, and you're doing such a good job, and it's a tremendous story, and as well as, but as a guy who's sort of, promotion-oriented and technical-oriented, to see your website, and let's plug that right now. People can go to ninayvonne.com. And I said earlier in the show, I'm really impressed with your press kit, the website that you sent me that's press.ninayvonne.com, because from there, at one glance, anybody can see all of the sites that you're a part of, whether it's from Twitter to Facebook to MySpace, OnStage, Reverb Nation, on and on, and the press that's come out about you, which I found very interesting reading the press releases as well as what the media themselves have been saying about you. But what sort of influence did your parents have on you for, I would again say, this sort of ambition and drive to get to where you are today?
My parents have been very supportive. They, you know, of course, like any other parents, want to make sure that their kid is on, you know, is well, is if they're taking care of themselves. Because I moved out of New York last year, and I moved to Los Angeles kind of like on my own do-it-yourself sort of thing. And I just wanted the liberation and freedom to just think creatively and not have any, like, influence from anyone. And not to say that, you know, family or personal issues, you know, don't help, you know, in building yourself as an artist, but you kind of want to be able to just think and experience certain things on your own terms and sort of grow from it as an individual. And so that's kind of been like my drive in this whole process, because sometimes people forget that you have to be able to look within yourself to find what it is you really want for you. It can't be what mommy and daddy wants. It can't be, you know, what your best friend wants or your school teacher, because I just feel like a lot of times those sort of personal situations get in the way and sort of indirectly influence you as a person. And it's hard for you to see it at first until you can just kind of step out of those terms and really look back in hindsight, like, okay, you know, I'm going to set these goals for myself within the next 3 months. I'm going to have this, this, and that in order. And I'm going to set up these amount of shows for myself within these. You know what I'm saying? So you really have to prioritize and just set goals and really know what you want.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, Paula, just before my thing went offline there, I thought we had a caller. Do you see anybody?
I do. Hold on a second, and I'll screen them.
Okay. Now, okay. Okay, while she's doing that. Nina, let's talk about the music a little bit. And Paul asked a great question, you know, how do you get inspired and that sort of thing. Let's go back, though, to when you were at LaGuardia. What would you tell anybody who is in the area and thinking about going to that school? What would they need to be prepared to do that? What would they expect? And why would it be a good fit for them from what you experienced, not only your own experience, but some of your classmates that you saw there? What advice would you give them?
I mean, a lot of my classmates, you know, like I mentioned, a lot of them ended up not even doing anything artistically. They either got married or, you know, they're off doing their own thing. But that doesn't mean that they weren't visually art or artistically there. It's just a lot of times personal things get in the way and, you know, experiences that you might go through sort of throw you off course. And I've kind of been very strong-headed in the sense where I didn't allow any of those things to interfere with me and what I wanted. And my mother's always said, you know, I was a stubborn soul. Even from a very young age, I've always kind of wanted to do things my way. And, you know, obviously with influence from creative and positive like-minded people, but I've always kind of known what I wanted to gain from being at that school. And you really just have to stay dedicated. You know, the hours are long. You come in at 8 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes you don't leave till 11, 12 midnight, and you have to be at class the very next day. So there's a sense of dedication and really just strong will that goes into it. And there's a lot of exams. There's a lot of testing. You really have to know your stuff in and out. There's a lot of live performances, rehearsals, recitals that you have to know your music in, you know, in and out. I was learning Italian arias at the age of 13. I was learning German, French, all kinds of different music at that age, and you really just had to know it. There was no, you couldn't second guess yourself, because once you did, you failed the class. And once you fail, you pretty much wasted your time at the school.
Yeah.
And you'd have to take that course all over again. And then you'd have to stay with students who were just starting out, you know. And so you don't want the embarrassment of being with kids who are just coming into it when you should have already kind of been pre-seasoned. And, you know, the school is an alumni to a lot of big names. Jennifer Aniston went there, Alicia Keys, Nicki Minaj, you know, graduated there, whatever. And there's just a lot of people who took something out of that school and really just made a name for themselves. And I don't know, it's something, it's an aura, you know. You really have to have it within you, but it also comes from surrounding yourself creatively with people who are just as focused.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, Paula, did we end up getting a caller there?
We do. We have Nancy on the line.
Awesome. Nancy, what's your question for Nina?
Well, first I just wanted to say I've just recently discovered you, and I wanted to tell you that you're very talented, and I hope that you'll continue on with your career. My question to you is I'm wondering if there's any musicians or artists or groups that you, you know, that influenced your music to a greater extent, and if there's anybody in the industry that you're being compared to artistically.
Oh, thank you for the question, Nancy. I've been getting a lot of comments in relation to Grace Jones, Janet Jackson, Cyndi Lauper, in the sense of style, fashion-wise, and just energy-wise. I've been getting a lot of comparisons to them, which to me is like a huge honor because those are legends. And those are people who have been doing it for years.
Right.
And I grew up listening to them, so...
And were any of those artists somebody that you had sort of found that they influenced you to a greater extent than others?
Yeah, personality wise, and I guess in the sense of like just being yourself and really creating a niche for your brand as an artist would be Grace Jones. Janet Jackson would be the sensuality, the drive, and just the connection she has with her fans. I took a lot of inspiration from her with that, and as well as her brother, Michael Jackson. Like, he's just, you know, one of the greatest artists that ever lived, rest his soul. But, you know, and Cyndi Lauper, her energy, the performance, the it's just so captivating. And I feel like those are the sort of elements you need in order to be successful, not just with music. I think with anything you do, you have to sort of embody the spirit of what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy. Thanks for the call. Yeah, that's those are some good questions. That's actually what I was getting ready to ask you myself. You know, I've seen you compared to a few people, and I don't know some of these artists. Is there an artist called Rihanna or Riaz? I don't know if I'm even pronouncing your name right.
Rihanna.
Say that again. Rihanna, yeah.
No.
I don't even know who that is, but I recognize the name because I've seen it over the years. I apologize. But I have to say this. You are very stylistic in your fashion, which stood out. That was one of the first things I noticed. And we've got some artists out there that are they're sort of attention grabbers because they go so far over the top. And I'd have to say that, you know, for a young lady, you're not only very stylistic, but I'd say tasteful at the same time. Yet there's a certain level of sexuality there that, you know, has got to be a part of pop culture and the pop scene. But I was actually very impressed. I went through your photos on Facebook and your website. And so I would like to commend you on that, that you're quite tasteful. But yet, you know, there's a little flamboyancy there, but just the right amount. And I was impressed. Now, I'm just a guy, and I'm not a very fashionable guy. But Paula, as a woman, Paula, what would you say along those lines?
I feel the same way, and it's her own style, but it looks like she's pulling a little bit of Nicki Minaj out of there and some, not too much of the Gaga, Lady Gaga, but, you know, Rihanna. But this is Nina's own style. This is who she is, and I feel the same way. I find her to be a very stylish young woman, and, you know, as she's flourishing through the music scene, she can grow and continue on her own style, and who knows, down the line she can have her own perfume line and her own clothing and shoe line.
Oh, boy.
And,
that would be, there you go.
Persevere. You've got to hold on to that and persevere, and no matter what anybody says, tell them, show them the story. You just keep doing what you want to do. I know you're going to make it.
Thank you so much. You know, a lot of times with fashion, people want it, like, a lot of times there's a lot of labeling and you know, who did it first or who did it better. And, I mean, that's what it's come down to nowadays. But I see, you know, fashion as something that's ever always evolving, always changing. I mean, you really just have to, you know, be creatively confident with what it is your approach is, because, you know, even with Rihanna and Gaga and Nicki, they all have stylists. They all have people who surround them day and night and sort of create this visual element that, you know, brings, obviously gravitates the fans and lures the fans in, and then the music comes second. But for me, it's always been the music first, then the fashion, and it all sort of comes together graphically, I guess, online. So...
Now, I noticed on your website, this, it says there's no shows booked at the moment. Why would that be? Is it because you're just starting out, or what type of venues are you looking at?
Right now, I'm still independent. I've been doing a lot of bookings earlier this year on my own. I did a lot of shows earlier this year at Key Club, Roxy, Whiskey A Go-Go, Viper Room. I pretty much performed at all the major venues here in Hollywood, but I do have a show coming up with Bruno Mars towards New Year's, and that's going to be really, really more driven to, like, help get Christmas gifts for kids in Africa, because that's, like, something that's really important for me, as well as Bruno Mars and his foundation, which is Mama Earth, and we've both been working on it day and night and just trying to sort of get the dates and everything together. And I'm the only performer for that event, so I really want to just kind of focus in on that and make it a, you know, really kick-ass show.
Sweet deal. Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited for you then.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you've been at this for, now how long have you really been out there promoting yourself? It looks like maybe a couple years now.
Yeah, I started when I was like 17, 18. And this is before the whole Facebook, Twitter phenomenon happened. And, you know, I had my own little portfolio that I put together. And from there, I sort of created my own website. And I had people working with me. Like, I have people that I definitely look to for visual ideas and things that I can't do on my own. So I've been creating the sort of brand and image around my music for quite some time now, and it's evolved over time. Maybe every 3 months I switch it up. I, you know, try something different, and I even my music has grown. Like, stuff that I was releasing back in 2010 sounds a little bit different from the stuff that I'm releasing now, but that's just showing the evolvement and me, you know, just kind of changing myself on a, you know, daily basis. And right now, I'm getting ready to do 3 releases simultaneously. I'm going to release 360 for the American market. I'm going to release Giveaway, which is a European song that I just finished working on. And then I'm doing the song for the benefit concert with Bruno Mars, which is coming out on the 16th as well. So,
that's,
yeah.
You know, I gotta hand it to you. Doing a benefit concert, that's a great way to get your name out there. And that's a great way just to help the community and help folks out. That's awesome. What I'm going to do is, now that you've mentioned that, that got me thinking. I'm connected with a lot of different veterans groups, and if I see a group that's got some potential in terms of looking for somebody like you to come out and help support the troops and the vets and all that kind of stuff, we'll see if we can put something together. So I can't promise anything, but that's great that you're looking to help folks out as well as promote yourself. And now you tell us, because I've talked about your website and people can get linked everywhere that they need to go, but where would you tell people to go to find out more about you, to listen to some of your music, see some of your videos? Where are the prime places that people ought to go on the internet?
NinaYvonne.com or my Japanese website, Nina.jp, or they can go to Twitter or Facebook or Reverb Nation and just type in Nina Yvonne, or YouTube. I've got a couple of my videos up there on youtube.com/NinaYvonnePOP.
Okay, and on iTunes, I believe folks can download, and obviously it's like, you know, any music, you know, there's a price, but a lot of people, like I have, you know, iTunes account. If they type in Nina Yvonne into iTunes, will your music come up?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, okay, good. Because if they type in the American Hour, they will get all of the archives of our shows, which this is going to be there. And, of course, our stuff is all free because we're not selling that. A lot of shows do that. They actually do, but the most radio shows on iTunes don't. So, but, yeah, that's great. And, of course, you know, I went to YouTube, your YouTube site, and watched the videos and listened to music, and that's pretty cool. But, obviously, if somebody downloads from iTunes and pays the 99 cents or whatever it is, then they're going to get a high quality recording, something that they can play in their home stereo, listen on their iPad or iPhone or other MP3 device with their earphones and have some high quality sound. And that's really key, because I know when I listen to music, I've got some really, you know, expensive earphones that I'm actually wearing right now. And, you know, it's nice to have high quality music. So I would encourage people to go to iTunes and download your stuff, because that's where they're going to get the best quality. And then it's always fun, though, to go to YouTube. I've done that many times with some of the artists that I like and have their music, to then actually just go see them in action. You know, it's always fun to do that once you, you know, are used to the music and you know it well and that kind of a thing. So what do you see coming in the future for you as you continue to book these shows and venues? What do you see happening for Nina Yvonne in the next, say, 12 months?
I don't know. I mean, the future really, you know, dictates itself. I know for me, I'm going to stay consistently working and, you know, keep putting out great music. And right now I'm doing a lot of work with MTV and NBC. They've licensed a bunch of my songs for their TV shows. One of the most recent ones was The Mentalist, and MTV Viacom is using a couple of my songs off my EP, Model Citizen. And currently one of the songs is available for free on Amazon. So if people want to get a free download of the high quality version of it, they can get it from MTV directly. And as far as upcoming shows and tours, there's just so many things that I'm working on, but nothing concrete yet. But I definitely will post updates on Facebook and Twitter always.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, I saw the song from The Mentalist, and we love that show. We watch that religiously. I love that show. How did you get connected with The Mentalist, and was there a particular episode that song played on, or is it a recurring song?
I don't remember which episode. I know it was one of their most recent ones. It was a lot of fans were tweeting about it. I can't remember. But it was the very beginning of the show when they're walking into the club scene. They were playing Go Around. And I don't know. I can repost which scene it was, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, no,
there's
that's,
so many.
No, I understand. Hey, don't. That's. I'm good at asking questions. I'm not good at answering them. But you're doing a great job. And that would be great to repost that, because a lot of these shows, these TV shows, you can actually view on YouTube, or specific, you know, episodes and that sort of thing. And I know anybody that's a fan of The Mentalist would, and I'm going to go do it now, is go find that episode and then play that. So you go like, all right, there's Nina. There's her song.
They're all dancing, having a good time. That's what it's about.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, well, what else should fans know about you that maybe they don't know about you just from going to the website, et cetera? What would you like fans to know about you?
I recently came back from Tokyo, and that was really an eye-opener for me. And I just want to give a big shout-out to Japan for supporting me 1,000% and really just, you know, embracing me as a new artist. They never heard of me before, but I went out there, you know, did a series of shows, did a release out there, and they were just so supportive. And I mean, there's nothing like fan love. There's nothing like people embracing you without any kind of, like, you know, bias or anything to that. They just really love the music, and they're all about fashion and uplifting one another, and I really appreciate that kind of encouragement. As far as something about me, I don't know. I love to dance.
Well, first of all, tell us how old you are, if you don't mind.
Oh, people are always asking. I'm 22. My birthday is March 30th. Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's great that you've done so much at such a young age so far, and there's so much more ahead of you. That, yeah, we're absolutely going to be following you. We're going to have to put a link to your website on our webpage now, to make sure that people, you know, can get there easily, and that's very cool. Now, are we going to see you sometime in the near future doing a singing the Star Spangled Banner for the opening of a ball game?
You know, it's funny you asked. I actually did that in New York for Mayor Giuliani. They had like a reopening for a park in Brooklyn, and they had me sing the Star Spangled Banner. But that was the last time I ever got asked to do it, and I really hope to do it again. And that was such a cool experience, and I got like a standing ovation. It was really fun.
Now,
and the Star-Spangled Banner is not that hard. It's like a hard song to sing, but it's really not that hard. Like, people make such a big deal out of it.
Right, yeah. I think the hardest thing is for people to remember the words, because it's not something you sing that often. We all kind of know it. But when you got 10,000 people looking at you, then all of a sudden
it kind of freaks you out. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I'm singing this song.
Yeah, I guess it's one thing if it's your own song. But now, is there a clip of that anywhere? If somebody wanted to see that, does there happen to be a clip of that somewhere?
Yes. It was in my old EPK. I can repost it. It's so funny you should bring that up. I had it posted for a while, and then it's up on my YouTube, but I'm going to make it public so that people can see it, because it's so old. It's like from 2008, 2009 even.
That's cool.
You know,
I mean,
posted. Mm-hmm.
One of the coolest things for me is to see somebody that's an artist that I really like singing either a gospel song or, you know, there's something totally out of their genre, something that's completely different. A gospel song, maybe at a church gathering, or, because, I mean, believe it or not, you can find it on YouTube, Steven Tyler singing in a church setting, singing a gospel song. And you know, you get a better sense of a singer, I think, when you see them singing something a little out of their genre. And the Star-Spangled Banner is perfect for that. So I love seeing artists do that, so that you get a little different flavor and sense of their voice. And I've always loved every band that I've ever been a follower of, and I've got lots and lots of music. I started listening to music at a pretty young age, and my mother is a very accomplished pianist. I attempted to play the piano when I was young, and I did okay, but it never was really a passion, which is sort of a, you know, sports became more of a passion. But with that said, I love seeing all these artists from all these years of following them do something like that, because it gives you a whole other perspective. And sometimes I find it fun, really fun, to listen to somebody like that, that, you know, again, way out of their genre, singing something else. And it's very, very cool. So, yeah, definitely post that. We would love to see that. And maybe we'll even make that, with your permission, make that a part of the show in the future when we have some patriotic show going on. Like tomorrow is going to be somewhat patriotic as we remember December 7th, 1941, the attack on Pearl Harbor. So that's something very cool that we could maybe possibly use in the future to, again, promote you, but include it into one of our patriotic.
You guys want to say hi to my producer real quick? Hold on.
Yeah,
he is watching.
Say hi to anybody you want.
Danny. Take over.
What's your producer's name?
Hey, this is Detox.
Detox, hey, yeah, we got to learn a little bit about you from the website and what you're doing. You're doing a great job with Nina, and it's a pleasure to have you on the show as well. What do you want to say to the folks, the fans out there about Nina?
About Nina, we've been working really hard this year, and you know, we did a really successful remix competition with Inbaba, and that helped out a lot. I think we actually hold the record actually for the largest contest on her. Like, Alicia Keys is doing it at the same time, so I want to thank those guys for helping us out. I want to thank all the fans. She's up at about 100,000 now on Facebook, which is amazing. And we're just gearing up for 2012, you know, cranking out new music, and I'm always experimenting with new sounds and stuff, so it's kind of what I'm doing right now, just hibernating and regenerating.
Yeah. That's good to have somebody like you in her corner. Now, tell us about your moniker, Detox. How did you come up with that?
Detox. It's actually a name that Nina actually gave me. We were sitting in the studio back in like 07, and she was just throwing ideas around, and I think we were talking about Dr. Dre's album, actually, because we were making a joke about how I had put it on hold back when I was 14, and then it just kept getting bumped and bumped and bumped and bumped, and then somehow it ended up becoming a moniker with, you know, me, and then I switched it over to I Am Detox, so it's kind of Detox and I Am Detox, the same person.
Uh-huh. Okay. It's not because you need to detox.
No, I mean, it's kind of changed over to this thing where it's like, you know, I'm always trying to just clean up everything that I do. So it's like when it comes to music and sound and stuff, so I just kind of like detox the audio, you know?
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's very cool. All right. Very good. Shoot, I don't know what else to say. I mean, this is great. I mean, I wish we could play. You know, it's hard to play stuff on the air like this that people can really get a sense of it. We just want them to go to YouTube, watch the videos, go download the music from iTunes, and enjoy it. What else should we expect from Nina in the next, say, 12 months as far as new material and new ideas? You don't give anything away, but, I mean, are you kind of going a little bit different direction, or are you going to branch out on a few different things?
Yeah, we branched out on a few different things. My production style for her is going to be switching up a little bit. It's going to be a little harder in the sense of, more harder driving beats. But it's definitely still going to be in the same lane as, dance, electronic type stuff. But
yeah.
Be on the lookout for that type of stuff and, definitely putting out a lot more tracks this year than we did this past year. Because this past year, it was just a lot of promotions and appearances and things like that. So this year's going to be the year of actually, putting out a lot of material.
Excellent. That's the kind of music my wife loves. I can tell when she's been in one of the cars before me, because I get in and the radio's, as soon as I turn the car on, boom, there's either a dance mix CD or a dance station. And so she's definitely a fan as well. And it's great stuff. But I love her voice. That's the thing that I've always, every band I've ever listened to, if it didn't have a good singer, I don't care what type of music it is, it's all about the singing to me. That's what makes the music. And she's got a great voice. So we're really glad to have her on the show and be able to present her to our fans, as well as hopefully have some of her fans listening in. And of course, this will all be downloadable after the fact. And it's always great to be, because I travel a lot. I got to tell you, I travel a lot, and it's hard to, listening to shows you want. There's an interview that you want to see or hear, and then you miss it. But if it's downloadable, it's great to be able to go back when you have the time and listen to a star that you're a follower of talking about things. And she's got a great story. So we appreciate that.
Thank you guys for the support.
Yeah. Okay. You still there, Nina?
Hold on one sec.
Hello.
Okay. Well, thanks for introducing us to Detox. Sounds like he's doing a great job, and I could see that on the website. And it was clear that, you're a big fan of his for what he's been helping you with and what he's doing. It sounds like he's got a lot of talent, and certainly you've got the talent, and it's that's what's going to make the difference. And I told him that your voice is really what makes the music, clearly, and that's always what has made the music for me and any band that I've been a fan of. If the singer wasn't a good singer, I don't care how good the music was, I just can't listen to it. So it's great listening to, somebody young like you that understands music, has actually been formally trained, and is now taking that formal training and applying it in a pop setting, and something that's going to be popular that kids and adults alike are going to like. So that's great. And I'm really impressed with the fact that you have gone and found venues like TV shows and other organizations that want your music. It says a lot about your music. That want your music so that it's going to be out there more. And we're going to get, we're going to get used to hearing your voice, whether it's, listening to your actual music or watching a TV show. And I'm going to bet one of these days I'm going to be watching a TV show or a movie and go, I think I recognize that music in the background or that voice. That's what's cool.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, my kids are going to be I should have had my kids call into the show. I didn't think about that. I should have had my kids call. Oh, they're a little bit older. They're about your age. And say, well, hey, guess who was on my show today? So that's all very cool. Anything else you want to tell the fans out there or let us know about? One more time, ninaivon.com. Ninaivon.com. You got to go there. Lots of information, lots of stuff to look at. You've got a blog. Here's a good question. How often do you send out tweets, and is it you or is it a PR person doing it for you?
I'm sorry?
When you get on Twitter and you put stuff out there, is it you doing it? Is it somebody doing it for you? Fans always want to know that. Are they really getting tweets from you, or is it just a press person doing it for you?
Is a press person tweeting on my Twitter for me?
Yes.
No, it's me tweeting on my Twitter.
Okay,
but, yeah, sometimes fans retweet some of my tweets.
Good, yeah. Well, you can tell if you go to my Twitter account, you can tell it's me. if you know anything about it, you know it's me. It's not some press person doing it for me. I got people that book, you know, guests for the show and stuff like that. It's always me. And that's what fans always want to know. Is it really you? Am I really getting tweets from you? And when you post on Facebook, is it really you? That's what people want to know, because then it's like, okay, good. Nina actually said that. And that's what they want to know. So that's cool. So how much time do you spend, say, in a day on Facebook, Twitter, and updating stuff?
Oh, I don't know. It really depends on what type of information I'm trying to relate to fans. Sometimes it could be a few minutes. Sometimes it could be a few hours.
Well, when I'm home, I can tell you, when I'm home, not traveling, I tend to spend sometimes maybe an hour doing that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's just me. So, okay, what are the three top songs that you've done that if somebody goes to either download them or go to your YouTube site, what are the three top songs people ought to look for?
Go Around. There's so many of them. I have about 7 or 8 songs on iTunes. I mean, they're all my faves, but Go Around has gotten a lot of attention. Model Citizen's gotten a lot of attention, and Some Girls definitely gotten a lot of. Oh, and the new one, 360, gotten a lot of international attention as well.
Okay. And one last question along that line. If somebody goes to the Japanese website versus just Nina, Yvonne.com, are they going to see anything different there?
Oh, absolutely. It's got a different sort of feel to it, different vibe. The NinaYvonne.com, it's more personal. It's more information that's coming directly from me, and updates regarding my American releases, and my Japanese releases are more directed towards Nina.jp, which is even the fashion's more driven for my Japanese fans.
Okay. And the Japanese website again is NinaYvonne.jp?
No, no, it's Nina.jp, just NENNA.jp.
Oh, well, that's nice and short and sweet. Nina.jp. Okay, cool. Very good. All right. Well, Paula, any last questions for Nina?
No questions, but I would like to say it was a pleasure to have, spoken with you and listened to you. And again, a big fan. You've got a follower, and stick with it, kiddo, and you'll, persevere and keep going through and, I would say in less than 5 years, you're really going to be something big.
Aww.
Don't let anybody else tell you otherwise. Stick with your dream.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Very
you guys
welcome.
Have a great day now.
All right, Nina, thanks for joining us, and I will send you the links to the show so that you can put that wherever you want to for fans to listen to in the future. Great interview. Thanks for coming on, and we will... keep abreast of what's going on. In any case, Paula, that was fun. It's always fun to have a musician on the show. And what else? I don't know. I guess we'll be back tomorrow night to do our special Pearl Harbor tribute and patriotic tribute to those fallen heroes on December 7th, 1941. See if I can get my dad on the show. He is sort of a bit of a historian when it comes to Pearl Harbor and what went on there, so maybe we can get him on the show to talk a little bit about that. And then, of course, on Thursday, we've got Wild Bill for America. In any case, I'll give you the last word, Paula.
Oh, thank you. It was fun having Nina on the show. Just a shout-out to all the troops that are coming home from Iraq. The president recently announced that all American troops now will be home by the holidays. I'm seeing here recently in the news, in today's news, the largest group so far of returning soldiers from the Utah National Guard's 2nd Battalion, 222nd Field Artillery, and 213th Forward Support Unit is scheduled to arrive Thursday morning at the Cedar City Regional Airport, with more flying into Salt Lake City. Just a shout out to them, and your families love and miss you and are so looking forward to having you in their arms and home for the holidays. It's about time.
Awesome. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us tonight. We'll see you again tomorrow night for our Pearl Harbor edition. Good night, Paula.
You're listening to the American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.